Very busy you are today, huh? Yeah.
Oh, they got me working. They got me working. Thanks for accommodating me. I was running behind earlier, and then my numbers, when I did get to you, it was like, this ain't working. I'm glad they tracked you down.
Well, we did a compassion thing the last couple of days with Compassion International. So we took the studio line, transferred it, you know, so people could go right to there, and we still had it on this morning. And I forgot about it. Anyway.
That makes sense. I was pretty confused there briefly.
I'm sure you were. Like, wait a minute. I've already
Hey, would you like to donate to Compassion? I'm like, would you like to go get Mr. Hunter?
So,
like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, okay. Sorry,
since I've got you on that topic, David, do you sponsor a child by any chance? I just wonder.
Oh, yeah, man. And I've got, absolutely. And we have been connected to Compassion. Like, got so many good friends that work there. And just over, the years of being around music, they've just been so active and supportive of a lot of my artist friends. I don't necessarily do sponsor stuff when I go out. But they sure have been, as I said, really supportive of a lot of my good buddies that are on the road all the time. And it's just amazing to watch. It's a special thing. What they do is a special thing. It's at the first of this year, and this is nuts to me. We were in Atlanta doing this passion conference, and every year we have we just feel like worship. It's not just about songs, you know. It's reading Acts, and Paul. Paul's talking about offering yourselves as living sacrifices, and that would mean the totality of who you are as a human. That's what you're actually presenting to God, rather than just a bit of music. So we always have a social arm. When they get these college kids from this conference, and we're at the Dome, the Georgia Dome.
Wow.
55,000 college kids that have descended upon this place, and it's amazing. But then what happened was, we're like, hey, we had a lofty goal. We're going to try to sponsor with Compassion. We're going to try to sponsor 3 countries worth of kids. And it's never been done before in one event, Bill. We're going to try to do it. We're going to try to knock out 3 countries worth of these children that Compassion's, got in front of them, and it's going to change these kids' lives. Okay, by the time we're done with that, Bill, in the moment, we had actually sponsored 5 countries worth of kids, and we're moving on to, by the time the conference is over, to sponsoring a 6th country. It was nuts. That's how the year started. So we were wound up. And Compassion, of course, was wound up as well. It was incredible. But man, and college kids, they're eating ramen noodles at the dorm, but somehow they're digging deep and changing kids' lives. And Compassion's allowing us to partner with them is amazing.
That's an awesome story, man. That was.
Oh, dude, it blew our minds.
All right, so I got to ask you now, because I know you're getting it out there pretty big. It's getting out there. It's way past the Duck Dynasty thing, I think, right? I mean, your beard, it's looking.
Well, I was just we were speaking of the Passion Gang. We just did this worship conference called Lift in Atlanta at our church, and Willie and Corey. Robertson, they came out just to be at the conference. They weren't doing anything, but they're just hanging out with us. And I'll tell you this: Willie's kind of trimmed up now. Mine's looking pretty unkempt comparatively. Yeah, he's been coiffed. Yeah, he's definitely had some trim going on. And so I felt like I should maybe, tighten my game a little.
Well, I saw you in a photograph of you out on the charity golf tournament recently.
Right. Which one of these does not belong here? That's Sesame Street Soft, man.
That's awesome. Yeah, and then I have the need to go to the Houston Rockets game and tell the beard, mm-hmm. You're not really the beard from Texas. You think you are. But anyway, I digress. So,
Let yourself go.
What's that?
I said it's called letting yourself go is what it is.
It is kind of letting
my wife, Tony's like, yeah, do you like this? And she's like, I do actually like it. But yeah, it's just basically... He's going for that. I'm letting myself go. Look, he's like just shy. He's like, two Twinkies shy of homeless is what you said.
No, you know,
I don't know what the place has to do with, but that's what her phrase is.
The way I look at it, a pair of sunglasses in a couple more weeks should be in the ZZ Top category right
ZZ Top. Well, if I could play like Billy Gibbons, we'd be doing all right.
No, stop. Come on. What's give me just a little rundown about your musical background growing up in Texas there. What?
Oh, man. Well, we had music around the house. It's mostly a lot of country music, obviously.
Right.
Texas, it just comes, we just call it music.
Right.
Yeah. But my mom got me into piano lessons really early. I don't know why we had a piano at the house because nobody played it, but it must have been like inherited, passed down, and there it was. And as a kid, as soon as I could reach those keys, it was just something that made a lot of noise if you banged on them. And suddenly, my mom started recognizing the melodies that I was banging out, and she's like, uh-oh, the kid's got an ear. We should probably get him some lessons. So she started, you know, forcing me to piano. I hated it. Oh, I hated every minute of it. Especially when, I remember when daylight savings time would happen, and so, it's still light outside.
Oh, yeah.
Throwing the Nerf ball in the yard, and they're having a blast, laughing and cutting up. And there I am, sitting at the piano bench, practicing, and they'd come running by the sliding glass window and bang on it and make fun of me, and I'm like, I know, I'm lame, I'm that kid. It's like rehearsing piano skills while yeah. y'all are doing athletic, team-oriented activities. So it was, but mama knew best. You do what you, mama knows. And so I wound up studying piano in college and picked up guitar my junior year. About the time I was a part of this church start there, and being musically inclined, it fell in my lap to pull together the musical portion of our Sunday morning gatherings. And I was kind of the MD, the music director, just getting players together, picking songs, rehearsing everybody, which is a huge task when you're talking about college kids.
I bet it is. Get
players to show up and know what in the world that they're about to play. And it was a mess. It felt like it had very little to do with music and more about scheduling.
It's a wonder you made it through all that.
Yeah. It really is. It's my wife. She started, once things started taking off, I had written some songs for just for our church house. It was tough to find songs that fit the collegiate setting. Everybody's listening to college radio, which is, pretty indie alt type music, and it was just hard to find anything that fit a corporate setting that sounded even similar to what we were listening to in real life. So started writing stuff. We didn't have those Chris Thomas back in the day.
Right.
We had like Maranatha and Vineyard, and that's about as hip as you could get. so I started writing, and the songs, just given that it's a transient population, the songs would travel with these students back home and, over summer or Christmas breaks. And we started getting calls. Hey, can you come do this or that? And thank goodness my wife is way better at details than I am. And definitely none of this would happen if she didn't know how to get a bunch of dudes from A to B who can't keep up with their phones or their person most of the time. And so she got us out and about, and here we are now.
Now, you had the, and I know everybody asked you about this, because you threw us all for a loop back a few years ago. You had the David Crowder band. Well, I mean,
it's confusing, right? I don't even know what happened. Everybody's like, what? I don't understand what's going on. I'm like, I don't either. I don't know.
Do you have a band now, or is it just?
I do, but it's not official. So here's the problem, and nobody could foresee this, is we had a terrible first band name. We didn't have a good band meeting to come up with like one of those cool hip band names. Instead, as I said, we were just this band. We were just a church band, and somebody'd be like, hey, can you come to San Diego and play at our college get together? Blah blah blah. And I'd be like, yes. And so then we'd show up and be like, David Crowder Band is playing here at our college. So
I got you.
Sort of, we got the name, and it was too late. We kind of were out and about before we got to sit around and be like, hey, man. We need a cool name. Like, it needs to have like a number and a color and a mammal.
That's right.
29 Green Buffalo would have been a great band name, but no, we're David Crowder Asterix Band, and we don't even know where the asterisks came from. It just started appearing. We're like, are y'all like But now, so I do have a number of people who play with me, and so I guess it technically is a band of the humans that play music. But it's all my fault, I guess, is how you best say it now. Now it's all my fault. It used to be I got to spread blame amongst a peer set. Now it's just my fault.
All right.
So that's the best way to explain it. Yeah, Crowder is what I'm going by. And so I lessened the syllables. I know people are busy. And so now you just got two syllables to say. And it's all my fault. That'd be a good description of what's happening.
There you go. There you go. Now, what about your musical direction? You just tell me what your musical direction kind of going in, because that's obviously kind of matured.
That too is a confusing thing. I'm not sure. whatever hit my fancy at the time, I think that's part of what has been amazing about what I've loved about getting to do music is always, I just have always gotten to dabble in whatever has caught my ear. But when I started this deal, I really would describe it as kind of porch music with a little, I called it folktronica. Like, it's got a lot of folk. It's like the Appalachian Mountains exploded on stage. You got, like, banjos and fiddles and dobros and, you know, all that good stuff.
Huh.
It'll foot tapping music, sing-along porch music. But at the same time, you get the beat drops, and so you got this EDM kind of programmed material meeting it. So it's like a porch with lasers is how it started.
Good night.
And now it's a little more swampy. Now this record I just put out, American Prodigal, is a little swampier, a little more aggressive. I've been in Atlanta, Georgia, and I think it's just kind of, it's like sweet tea and gasoline is how I describe this one. It's a swamp pop is what I think is closer to than folktronica now. But
you have just used more words that I'm going to have to look up. Man, that's something else. I love it.
As I said, it's difficult to, I don't know. I don't even know if that helps anybody.
Let me ask you this. Do you have a favorite song that really, you must have a favorite song or two, maybe all of them, that didn't make it on the radio?
Oh, man. Well, I do. And they're probably not on the radio for good reason. But I love them. There's this one called Augie Burden, and it is like if you can imagine this, it's like a prog rock number with banjos instead of detuned electric guitars. I mean, this thing is like rowdy. In fact, one of the dudes that played on it is a guy. He's the lead dude for Mastodon, which is a metal band.
Oh, I remember them. Yeah.
Oh, dude. So Bill's on there playing. I wrote it with Oz Fox, who is a lead guitar player from Striper, if you can imagine, and my high school friend, who was the biggest Oz Fox fan on the planet, and I basically, for a happy 40th birthday, like, had him come to Atlanta, and we just, like, hey, man, do you want to write with Oz Fox? And he's like, I don't write. I'm like, well, what do you do now? Happy birthday, bro. So we did this, we wrote this song, and it made the record, and it is, you don't even know where the time signatures are changing the whole, it is like, it is a math rock song, but with banjos and fiddles and mandolins going. It's a riot to play. And the gal that played banjo on it, she actually is Elvis Costello. She's a little three-piece that plays with Elvis Costello. Man, we had some beasts. She played the mandolin part, and a guy from this band called Whiskey Gentry played the banjo stuff. But man, it is a hoot of a song. That ain't gonna be on the radio, but it's a mind blowing of a thing. Oh. I can't help but smile and rock out a little bit.
And what's the name of it?
It's called All Ye Burdens.
All Ye Burdens. Okay.
Oh yeah.
I'll tell everybody it's a hymn.
But there you go. It sounds like you know what you're getting into, you know. It sounds like a good old church singing.
Okay.
You know, have a little church singing. But then all of a sudden you hear the metal come right in your face. It's just funny to hear a mandolin approach like a electric through a big Marshall stack.
Man, I can't wait. Okay. Now you've got somebody right in front of you. You've got a listener. here in New York right in front of you and you have 30 seconds, what do you tell them?
Well, I'd probably first ask their name.
That's a good idea.
Be like, hey, how are you?
That's my problem. That's what happened.
Man, I probably wouldn't ever get around to doing anything other than like hanging out. I love, man, my favorite thing in the world is just, I love people. People are more interesting than anybody.
That's very true.
So, yeah, I don't know if I'd ever get around to talking about my music, but it's truly inevitable. I don't know if in 30 seconds I'd get to, you know, faith discussion, but my favorite thing in the world is I think I'm an evangelist more than I am a singer. I love telling people about Jesus, and it's just fun. I like people. I love people, actually. So I'd be more intrigued about their story and what's up.
Well, that leads me to the other thing. Are you still doing the Hear Our Forgiveness stories? That's something you're still.
Oh yeah, we kicked that off. Actually, I guess it's the first in the last week or first of this week. I don't even know what day it is. Friday, so first of this week, and yeah, that's cool. I just love that song I wrote, the Forgiven song I wrote with Ed Cash, and man, it was one of those moments. You know, I mean, you would hope that every song kind of blows your own mind. You're like, man, I needed that, you know, and that's when it gets good. That song right there in the room, both of us, me and Ed, and Ed's a champ. He's written so many songs that have touched so many people, and it's just incredible to watch a dude who God's breathed so much through still be affected and moved by something as simple as, man, you are loved right now in your present tense. God loves you in your present tense as much as he ever loves your future tense. You're loved by God right now. And that's amazing, man. And when you experience forgiveness and grace, it's sure difficult not to tell everybody you know about it.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
David, what is your time with God like?
Oh, man, first of all, every day starts exactly the same. And it does not feel like ritual. The first thing I do every single morning is I pray the prayer of St. Patrick. And it's such a great, probably people know probably the end of it pretty well. It's like, you know, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ, all that, you know, it's pretty common. You find it on a plaque in lots of kitchens, kind of deal, or on a pillow, you know,
right.
Crocheted on a pillow. It's one of those deals. But, man, it's a really powerful prayer. It's pretty long, and that just kind of reorients me, and then I have a number of different things that I'll, a few books that are going all the time that I'll crack open right after that. And you know, it's amazing, it's the YouVersion Bible stuff, because you've got that stuff that hits you up in the morning, you know, you get that verse of the day, and then different reading programs. And it's my day starts there. Before I'm even out of bed, most of the time it unfolds. And then I'm always getting the opportunity to be reading books that we as a band are like talking about. There's a number of readers that I have out with me, and so we're always, you know, trying to find some paradigm shifting get together that we're, you know, our minds are blown, like, feels like I like, that's probably why I enjoy College Kids so much, is I love that I love the big questions that we're never going to get to the bottom of, you know? And so I probably annoy a lot of people about stuff that, you know, we don't know. We don't know that through a glass dimly, you know? And at the same time, I love the pursuit and the activity of seeing God active in my own life. And then, as I said, that kind of just carries over and spills to the people around you, and you see people across the counter at Taco Bell differently, you know, when you're aware of the fact that you're, every space you enter, you're carrying the story of God, and you're carrying a story of redemption and grace, and it sure changes, you know, when the gal's like not understanding what your order is, and you could get frustrated. I think that's when you figure out who's on the throne.
Oh boy, yeah.
I said taco instead of taco, hard shell. I want it in 2 minutes. It just changes, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, man, Josephine, dang, that's a beautiful name. What's your deal? Where'd you come from? And I don't know. That's what I like, is when you see the people in front of us, it feels like we're carrying that love your neighbors, yourself stuff. And I think a lot of that has to do with how do you start your day and how do you reorient yourself to be aware of the story you're carrying. And,
absolutely.
And,
Yeah. Is God teaching you anything, like, right now? Other than this talking to me, an idiot on the radio? I mean...
I know. Hey, we're having a great time. Well, we as a church, we're going through... we're all reading the book of Mark together. And it's been incredible. Mark is kind of one of those... If I've just encountered somebody that's curious about the story of God, and that's kind of where I'd start them, you know, like Ecclesiastes and Mark are kind of some of the like safe zone. Ecclesiastes is beautiful, but Mark is so it's so real, you know, down to earth, and the stories are just beautiful. But what I love is there's this one moment that this blew my mind. I don't remember ever coming across this before, and I grew up in church, but there's, you know, after the disciples have just been a part of the feeding of the 5,000. You know, I mean, they're the ones holding the baskets, you know, and everybody's getting, you know, here's the bread and the fish, and they keep passing it out and passing it out and passing it out. And then after this has happened, it says the disciples were still confused about what had just gone down. They were like, what was that?
Right.
And I thought, man, how great that. I mean, they just did it, and they still didn't understand. I mean, it's in their hands. They still didn't understand what was that. And I loved that you could be that close. It made me feel a little better about the moments where I might have missed it. You know, that I'm right next to something that's a foot in it, and I look back and go, I did not even. My awareness was not where it should have been, and I think there's hope for me.
very good lesson right there, all of us.
Great lesson for me, anyway.
That is really cool. Well, man, I've taken up a lot of your time. Can you do me a favor?
I will try.
Can you say, hey, this is Crowder. You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Absolutely, I can do that.
You have a great voice, by the way. People must think you're on radio. I bet they go, man, you must be on the radio or something. You say, well, nah, I would never do that.
It turns out today I am.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go. They picked this. They put us together. We're a good team. All right, here we go. Let's see what it's Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Like that?
Yes, sir.
That's perfect, man. Look at you. Hey, this is Crowder, and you're listening to you. Cup of Joe Morning Show. It's my favorite. It's how you start your day, and your day is going to get better and better.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Dinner. I owe you dinner for that one.
Yeah, let's not get carried away.
Okay.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, man. Well, I'll see you when you come north.
All right.
Have fun, man.
Thanks for fun. Thanks for including me and for accommodating me. And have a great rest of the day, dude.
You too, David. Thank you very much. Right. God bless you.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.